Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Veterans Unite podcast. I'm your host, Shad Turner, and we've got another wonderful one-on-one interview for you tonight. Our tonight's guest is a guy named Trip Ainsworth, and he is a Marine veteran. He's an artist, he's a writer, he's a podcaster, and he's a musician. And in his podcast, he covers a very wide variety of topics, and but I'm not going to tell you anything more about that until we get him on. I do want to point out a few things, though. If you're watching this on Facebook, don't forget to head over to Veterans Unite Podcast on Facebook and like us so you can find all of our videos. And if you are wanting to dive into the podcast side of it, find me on any podcast player out there. For the most part, I think Anchor is probably the only one that I'm not on because I don't broadcast with Anchor. So just saying. But anyways, so without further ado, let's bring Trip in and get to know Trip a little bit more.
Hey, yo, what's up?
Not a whole lot. How you doing, bud?
Oh, you know, another glorious day in the life.
Right. And as I was saying in the lead up there, you've got a wide variety of things that you do.
And no, you know, it's all the same thing. I just painted all different colors.
Oh, there you go.
It's like those podcasts, they aren't actually podcasts. They're I painted a stick with a Sharpie and have fooled nice. You all.
Ah, there you go. There you go. And God, that just brings me into so many references back to your show. I've been listening to it for like the last week so I could catch up on almost all your episodes. I think the only thing I haven't heard yet is episode 2. And that's because I started at like 12 and worked my way backwards.
Yeah.
But thank you, Apple Podcast.
Right.
But anyways, that being said, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Right, well, you know, hey, I'm Trip. I don't know where my hands at. No way. I'm originally from Florida. I'm right now living up in Pennsylvania. I've spent 12 years in the Marine Corps doing a few different things technically, but really only one thing. Written a few books. I've made a little bit of art, and now I talk to people on the internet and get drunk like an asshole. So if you haven't seen my podcast, most of the time I'm pretty crooked.
Gotcha. Now I will say I have not watched any of the podcast videos. I've only listened to them. So, but I have seen your Instagram page and you do some pretty interesting videos over there. But I tell you what, before we get into that, if you would tell us a little bit about your time in the Marines.
So let's see. I joined in 06. I was a little bit too old to be part of the, I joined because of 9/11 crowd, but I did watch Fallujah on TV, like, cause it was blared like propaganda. And I was like, hey, I want to go to other countries and shoot people, which, you know, there's only really one job you can do that in. So I, you know, joined the Marine Corps and, Not to be that guy, because everyone is that guy. My recruiter fucking lied to me, and I ended up in combat camera, which wasn't a bad gig. It ended up working in my favor, because anything that could go on, people want pictures for. So I would use the to my advantage the card. Hey, you guys need photos of this? I'm the best / maybe only guy you have. You should take me out to go do this.
Right.
And That got me a few places that I probably shouldn't have ended up, but you know, went to Afghan twice, did a couple of MUs, got force lat moved into PSYOPs when the Marine Corps was setting up their PSYOPs center, and then got the fuck out as soon as I could. And by out as soon as I could, I mean, I walked into the monitor's office and was like, hey, get me out of here. Where can I go? And he's like, I can get you to Lejeune in 8 months, or I can send you to Torn Palms in 2 weeks. I was like, send me to fucking Torn Palms. I gotta go. Back into my MOS. Was in from like 06 till I think the spring of 08. No, I'm sorry, not 08, 2018. And I was actually medically separated. I used to joke that I was going to stay until they killed me or kicked me out. And, mm-hmm. I mean, sucked my word.
Kicked you out.
Yeah.
All right. So if you don't mind me asking, what happened with the separation?
So there's this thing. I forget exactly what it's called, but it holds the tendons in your ankles together. I don't have either of those anymore, nor do I have that piece of cartilage between your knees.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, excruciatingly detrimental, but like you can't run with that or mm-hmm. carry a bunch of stuff. And despite what anyone will tell you, 99% of Marine Corps work that isn't waiting around with your thumb up your ass is running fast or carrying heavy shit.
Yeah, pretty much. So, all right. So they tell you it's time for you to go.
Yeah.
And what was your separation like?
I would say it was relatively painless for me. They extended me while they did all the medical paperwork and all that stuff, but I had a good group of guys around me. And by a good group of guys, I mean, like, we would start drinking at 3 p.m. and party all night. Like I was shit bagging it hard my last like year in the Marine Corps. So, it went pretty smooth. And then, I looked at a lot of my friends that had got out before me and saw what kind of situations they were in and decided, hey, maybe I should get into college before I get out. So I applied to like UCLA, University of Houston, and Penn State. And mm-hmm. Penn State got back to me first. So I'm in Pennsylvania now.
All right. Very good. Yeah. And so if you could live anywhere, where would you live?
Now, if I could live anywhere on my budget, or are we assuming that I have like 16 zeros in my bank account?
Let's go both.
Okay. So live anywhere on my budget, right here. Like I'm in the middle of nowhere. I think the Walmart is about half an hour away. I have one neighbor. Nice. I bought a 2,500 square foot house on about an acre for $80,000. Like I'm in nowhere and it's cheap. However, nice. If I can live anywhere with no budget, and by no budget, I mean like all the fucking, like Bill Gates money.
Right.
I would buy a mountain somewhere in like East Europe, like somewhere that's like still super, super superstitious. Right.
Right.
And I'd build a castle on top of this mountain. If I couldn't find one mountain that had a castle on it already, and I would get Elon Musk to build me something that looked like I was shooting lightnings out of my hands. And then on full moons, I'd come out dressed like a wizard shooting lightning out of my hands. And then what I would do is I'd go find, like poor impoverished youths down in the village below. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, hey, listen, get them and their family together. I'm going to send your kids to college and I'm going to buy them a nice house somewhere not on this continent with two stipulations. One, kid never comes back. Two, parents have to spread rumors that I kidnapped the kid. So we'll have this like whole superstitious village seeing a wizard shooting lightning out of his hands. Saying that, hey, that wizard's kidnapping her kids.
Jesus. Now, interestingly enough, one of the pages that I follow on Instagram is one of those like abandoned places kind of pages.
Yeah.
And there's a shit ton of places that seem to always pop up in former Soviet countries. So that could be possible.
Yeah.
And
I'm thinking maybe one of the Baltic states, because like on the weekends, I could still go to, like Riga or Dog of Pools, or an actual city that's like 2 hours away, and get cultured for a bit.
There you go. All right. So you're out of the Marines. You got transitioned. At what point did you start taking up let's just call it the arts?
Well, I'd been doing those. Maybe not at the same level that I'm at now. Mm-hmm. So like, say with, you know, like art, like, you know, painting, drawing, woodcraft, that kind of stuff. I've been doing that for, you know, since I was like this tall, you know. Mm-hmm. I honed my skills in it in my 20s because I spent all my money on alcohol and cigarettes and didn't have anything else to do besides sit around and draw for like, you know, half the month, because, you know, that's how that works. Mm-hmm. And then I got into watercolor painting maybe 2015-ish. And then I'm really digging the whole like acrylic thing now, but I didn't start doing that till it was mandatory for a project in school. I want to say like last year. And I was like, oh, I actually really like the way this works. There's stuff that you can't do with anything else. Well, you can't do with anything else besides like maybe oils, like the paint's a little bit translucent, so like light passes through it. So mm-hmm. if you layer it up right, what'll happen is light doesn't come from the sun or a light hit the painting and bounce off to your eyes. It goes through all the paint, hits the canvas, goes through all the paint again, and then hits your eyes. So it gives us this illusion of glowing. Huh. But it's funny because if you get really nice expensive paint, right? It's, I guess, got a sharper pigment, and the pigment to binder ratio is stronger. And you have to get this other stuff called glaze to mm-hmm. like thin the paint out to, you know, get that effect. Or you could just buy cheap paint and it works the same as buying the expensive shit and then mixing it with more expensive shit.
Wow. Very good. All right. So one of the reason I found you to begin with, if you want to call it found you, yeah. is one what day was I was on. What's that?
Was I lost?
Possibly.
Oh shit.
But now you're found.
Oh, what was I, drunk, blind, and stupid, or just blind and now I can see?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think that we're going to have to leave that one to philosophers.
Okay.
But anyway, so I found you through Instagram because one day I was searching on veteran musicians, I think.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, you were one of the first names that came up.
Really?
And yes, it was quite amazing. It was. Congratulations. But so that's how I found out that, one, you play guitar.
Yeah.
But then I saw you also wrote a book about guitar playing. Is that right?
No. So what is it? I have 6 novels out. They're all science fiction and they're all in the mm-hmm. same saga. Like they're all the same timeline. Like, you know, they're all sequels of each other. And I want to say, while I was writing the 4th, 5th, and 6th one, because I wrote all 3 of those at the same time, I was like, mm-hmm. well, hey, you know what I could do? I could make these characters like musicians and then put sheet music in the back of it and then, you know, justify, you know, writing an album and all that stuff. Here, give me a second, let me show you this.
Yeah.
So for those that are listening, you're not gonna see anything, but yeah, so like, you know, regular book, but then in the back, like, there's the sheet music for all the songs they sing.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And I've been trying to do that, like, I'm planning on doing that with anything else I ever write. But, you know, the first 3 don't have that because I didn't think of it till the 4th one.
Gotcha. So that book you just showed us, what's the name of that book?
That one's called Chain Smoke Your Problems Away.
Okay. And so you say you've got 6 books out?
Yep.
And how many others are you working on?
So what is it? I have the 7th one done. I'm in the middle of the 8th, and I'm going to do the 9th before I release anything. That way I can release like all 3 of them kind of back to back, you know, ride the algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the thing with that is that song that you were talking about playing later tonight, that's from the song, or that's from the book Chain Smoke Your Problems Away. And I did go back and record all that, and you can find it on Spotify and iTunes and all that. And there's like 2 or 3 versions of each song on there because I really hate my voice. And I would imagine other people would too. So it's like, here's what I tried to do, and then here's it without me strangling a fucking cat in front of a microphone.
There you go. All right. So what are your books about?
How much time you got?
Go for it.
Okay. So if you wanted to pin down what exactly they're about, I would be hard pressed, and I would imagine anyone else would be hard pressed to say what exactly they're about. But say the first one, it's about a Marine Lance Corporal and his best friend, who's a Navy corpsman. and they're hanging out in Oceanside, California, stationed in Pendleton, being assholes, as E3s do. And then they get called back to base, you know, hey, war's been declared, shit's going down. And they finally get back to, you know, base like at midnight on a Saturday, you know, to get this briefing like, hey, shit's going down Monday, have your shit together. And they're like, oh, hey, are we going to go fight ISIS? This is going to be fucking great. Been waiting to get to these guys. This book was written in like 2014, by the way, to date it on that. But during their brief, they're like, no, Iran invaded Iraq, so you're going to go fight Iranians in Iraq. And they're like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Well, fuck it. War's war, right? So they go to Iraq. They're fighting through that. Something happens in it. Their section gets separated from the rest of the company. They end up in this like underground Babylonian cave, and everyone dies except for the main two characters, and who accidentally become immortal, but they don't know it at the time. They don't figure it out till later. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the rest of the books, they're still questioning it. But I want to say maybe about a month later, during the fight, they're in Iran and they get hit with a artillery shell, and they wake up like a year later in Bethesda, and they're like, oh, hey, so what's going on? I'm in this hospital bed. Let me pull this stuff out of my face and pull this tube out of my ass and go find somebody. And the attendants were like, you're supposed to be brain dead. And they're like, well, you know, just because I eat crayons doesn't mean my first sergeant doesn't think I'm brain dead. Wait a minute, I don't eat crayons. Don't talk to my first sergeant about this. And, you know, they're recovering, and they don't have any permanent injuries, like no burns, nothing. Their tattoos come back. The only thing they really suffered from was muscle atrophy, right? Mm-hmm. And while they're in the hospital, it turns out that while they were in their comas asleep, we made contact with aliens, and aliens just like moved to San Diego. I mean, they moved all over the place, but you know, they're in San Diego. So
okay.
They're in San Diego. And then the rest of that book, which is the first one, the two main guys are, you know, dealing with just being raging alcoholics and realizing it's destroying their lives, and dealing with survivor's guilt, and like also being drunk assholes and figuring out, hey, if aliens landed and they're pretty much us, but they're green and they have fangs, I'm going to go stick my dick in it real quick. the main character ends up marrying an alien later in it. But second book, and that's all first book, by the way.
Now, are these like V-style aliens with like removable skin? Or you remember how that was? They're like lizard people?
No. Okay, so the aliens in it, they live for about 1,000 or 2,000 years-ish. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit taller than us. They have green skin, and their body fluids taste like honey. And they
nice.
Have, that's about it. But there's
and
a
they have what?
What?
And they have what?
Their body fluids taste like honey.
No, and after that.
Oh, no. What I was going to go into after that was, there's a, like, it's also very satirical. Like there's a point where the two main characters, Hank and Doc, they're driving around and they're having this like philosophical they're having this philosophical conversation, and one of them's like, or Hank's like, hey, you know what, if there's a god out there and he's out there creating, you know, these different alien races, you'd think he'd be a little more creative than just to make different colored people. And then Doc's like, well, what if there is no god? And he's like, you would think that natural selection wouldn't work in a way where it made pretty much the exact same thing on different fucking planets. This is only something that happens in stupid fucking sci-fi movies. I can't believe this is happening right now. So it's kind of jabbing fun at itself. Mm-hmm. Second book though, Hank, the main character, he's been a sergeant for like 5 years, and he's like ready to get out of the Marine Corps. And he's like, once this deployment's over, I'm going home. But he's on the Black Sea Rotational Force, you know, stationed in Latvia, pretty much just doing training with the Eastern Europeans, you know, in case something happens. Mm-hmm. And then something happens. The Russians invade East Europe, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to say they're fighting in Latvia for a bit. And then the second half, maybe 2/3 of the book, is they make a beach landing in St. Petersburg. And it goes about as well as you would imagine it would go. Like, they had a really shitty first day, and then they had like a really good next couple days, and then the rest of it was like, hey, you know how they say don't invade Russia in the winter? Why the fuck do we invade Russia in the winter? Like, it's pretty blood and guts. A lot of people get waxed in it, and one of the things is I kind of loosely base it on the Iliad. And what I would do is, you know, the main guys would be out doing their thing. And then, like, you know, in the Iliad, you know, at some point somebody would be winning too much and the gods would come down and interfere. Mm-hmm. So what I did for that was, instead of, you know, a god coming down and interfering, somebody on one side or another would come down with a piece of alien technology and force shift the battle. Mm-hmm. And then the third one picks up right after the second one. Like, it's the next sentence pretty much. And they've just taken their main objective. They have taken St. Petersburg, and they're pretty much just waiting on word for what to do next. And then, like, a month goes by and no word comes. So they set up a convoy to go back to, I don't remember. I think it was somewhere in Germany, but I might be wrong. That shows you how much I reread these things. But they send this convoy to go check out what's going on at headquarters. The convoy comes back and they all have, like, radiation poisoning and, like, die, like, soon after they get back. So everyone's like, oh, okay. So worst case scenario is what just happened. Apparently they decided the war was going to be over and just nuke everything to shit. The Russians aren't fighting us anymore and we can't talk to anybody. So the guys that are left, you know, hook or crook it back to California from St. Petersburg, like, pretty much on foot and boats they steal.
Wow.
And then the fourth one, it takes place like 30 years later. And it's the main character's son, who's a Marine, who's stationed on Mars, right? Because there's a mass evacuation. A lot of people got off the planet, you know, thanks to this alien technology. And it's pretty much kind of like an anti-romance novel. Mm-hmm. So imagine a romance novel in the barracks, but everything goes wrong and everyone's also an alcoholic and there's a bunch of fist fights. And also there's a naval war still going on with the Russians. And then what happens at the end of the fourth book gets, the main character and, like, his group of friends that survive. They all get promoted. Like, he gets, like, the main guy, Thatch, he gets promoted from sergeant to, like, lieutenant, and he gets headquarters Marine Corps. And while he's at headquarters Marine Corps at New Annapolis on Mars, the commandant of the Marine Corps throws a coup d'etat and pretty much kills everybody above him in the line of succession to be president. So he's, like, de facto president now. But Thatch kind of, like, saw what was going on. He's like, whoa, dude, this isn't cool. We got to take this guy down. So that one's more of a political thriller. So, like, half of it he's debating is like, hey, so do I go stab this guy, or, like, do I just deal with this? I'm not sure what to do. Eventually they do end up making a decision, which leads to the sixth book, them running from the law. And the only people that would take them in is a group of space pirates.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good. And then where's that lead us towards into the seventh, eighth, and ninth?
I can't tell you that without spoiling a lot of shit. I did a thing at the end of the sixth book.
Mm-hmm.
And by a thing at the end of the sixth book, there's, like, literally the last sentence in it, I get hate mail over still.
Oh, shit.
Like, how fucking dare you do that? Like, I swear to fucking God. Like, and it's not something that built up in the sixth book. It was something that built up to the sixth book. So I'm getting hate mail about the end of the sixth book about shit that happened in the third book. So,
oh, shit.
I think I did a good enough job striking emotion.
There you go. There you go. So then, now, how long are these books?
Various. I want to say the first and the fourth one are about 120,000 words, so maybe the length of The Shining. The other four are maybe 200 pages. But what I like to do is, like I have them set up kind of like mini trilogies, even though they're in the same thing. And the first book is, like, the world set up, and this is who everybody is, and this is what's going on, and, like, the last half of it, just action. And then, like, the next book, you already know who everybody is, so I don't have to introduce you to new characters or anything. I don't have to explain anything to you. We can just hit the ground running.
Right.
And do that for the next two or four in the trilogy.
All right. So now, if anyone wanted to find these books, where would they go?
So I would tell you to go to Amazon to get them. You can also get them at Barnes & Noble. However, if you go to Barnes & Noble, they're going to cost you $25, and I'm going to get, like, 15 cents of a cut. However, if you go to Amazon, they're going to cost you $10 or $15, and I get $3. Plus, you can the Kindle app's free. And if you have Amazon Prime, they'll be free to read. Or if you have a Kindle subscription, mm-hmm. they'll be free to read. And if you don't have a Kindle subscription or Amazon Prime, it's like a buck or two to read. And then if you have money and you want to give me money, it turns out that all six of those books fit neatly inside of an ammo can. Right. And I have this thing where I stuff all six of those books in a 50 caliber ammo can, and I put a patch, some postcards, stickers and stuff, and, you know, like custom paint the ammo can for you and send that out.
Nice.
And then what I do is I keep your address. And then every time I make like a new batch of the ammo cans or the war chests, I call them, mm-hmm. like I'll put a new postcard in them, and then I'll send that same postcard to everyone who's bought a box set in the past.
Okay. Now, if someone wanted to get that, where would they go?
They would go to smokepitfairytales.com and look
for smokepitfairytales.com. All right. I know in the beginning I told you I don't write shit down, but I'm actually writing that down.
Oh, hey. All right. But also there you can get most of the art that, you know, you've seen on Instagram, and then a lot of that art there's also prints for. So if it's like, hey, I don't want to spend $200 on this piece of canvas, I'll spend 15 mm-hmm. bucks on a piece of paper of it, just print it out.
Cool. Yeah. So what else can people find on Smoke Pit Fairy Tales?
Really, really just those. I was doing a thing for a while where I was putting up book reviews of mm-hmm. independent authors that I've been reading, but I've kind of fell into the wayside on that. It's not so much that it's not there as much as it is as I'm going to school, and I've just been dropping the ball on fucking reading recently. and not to say there hasn't been some good stuff. Like there was a guy, I actually had him on my podcast about a month back. His name's Damian Larkin. He wrote a book called Big Red. He was in the Irish. They have a weird name for it, but he's pretty much in the Irish army. But they have some name like the Defense Force or the Homeland Defense Force or some stuff. But he wrote a really good book about like UN troops fighting Nazis on Mars. And then there was a couple other ones. There was this lady, Michelle Packard. She wrote a series called Aesop Stories, which is pretty much, it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but I really enjoyed it. It was kind of like, imagine John Wick, if John Wick was the main chick from Sex and the City that just fucking had a screw fall out. And she's like, all right, well, fuck it. I got to go kill the fucking terrorist now.
Right on. Yeah. All right. So that covers your writing. When, why, how did you get into writing music and playing guitar?
So I guess that one's a little bit more of a throwback. I want to say, shit, I don't know. My parents got divorced when I was young, and there was like a really bad, custody battle. And then there was like another really bad custody battle, like I guess round two, when mm-hmm. I was maybe 12 or 13. And then like, I was living in Florida at the time. I was living with my brother and my sister with my dad. And then like my mom just showed up one day and, you know, hey, here's a court summons. We'll see you in court tomorrow. Like, oh, wow. Real shady shit. And we ended up moving up to Ohio and had nothing to do. Just fucking hated that. And so I still don't talk to that side of the family. They're imagine like the worst kind of religious zealots that are mm-hmm. also assholes about it. So like I didn't leave the room, and if I did leave my room, I went to a friend's house because I don't want to hang out with anybody. But my dad ended up getting me a guitar for, you know, to pass the time. So I didn't have anything to do besides either go to a friend's house or sit in my room and be mad at the fucking world. And then I was like, oh, hey, well, I got a guitar to play. So let me get down on that.
Right on. All right. So let's see here. Now, From listening to your podcast, I think I know which way you lean on this, but Megadeth or Metallica? There we go.
Megadeth for sure, man. Like, so what is it? So like, what is it? Kill 'Em All was a mm-hmm. good album. I'm gonna call it a good album. Master of Puppets was fucking amazing. Ride the Lightning was a really good album. My favorite one was And Justice for All. Like that's in my top five fucking albums for anything. And then I liked the Black Album, and then I liked half of Garage Days. But then after that, like they should have changed their fucking name when they made Load and Reload. Like that shit wasn't god awful, but it was generic 90s rock Mm-hmm. And it's not Metallica. Megadeth, on the other hand, they've constantly evolved. Like since they started, like started off with like heavy thrash, and they kind of moved into almost what I would call pop metal for a little bit. And but even that stuff though was good. Like that album Risk was pretty much a pop album. But I still fucking like wore that fucking record out. And then like after that, they were like, okay, so we don't like this. Let's move back to doing other shit. And then I think on the way in, there might've been an album in here between this. I'm not 100% sure, but Dave Mustaine like fell asleep on his arm wrong. And then like his arm pretty much died for like a year. He had to go through a bunch of physical therapy to get it back working again. But then they came out with the System Has Failed, which is just this like super heavy, like every issue you could think about, we're going to dive into it. Also, whatever issue you have is the government's fault. So fuck the government. And just kept rocking after that. Like granted, you know, their newer stuff isn't like as iconic, but that newer stuff I haven't been listening to since I was 12. So, I mean,
there you go. All right. And on your podcast, I've seen you cover topics from the Megadeth and Metallica feud, if you will. You've covered, I remember the episode where you talked to the Irish guy.
Yeah.
But you also had one that I thought was really interesting, and it was more on conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah. No, that guy. Oh, man. I got to have that guy back on the show. Oh, shit. I'm going to feel really bad for not saying his name because he's such a good dude. I want to say his name was Ryan. Hold on. I'm going to pull it up real quick because he's got his own thing and you should check him out independently. Ryan Harb. Yeah. So, I love that podcast and I hated it at the same time because on one end, like we had really good chemistry. It was just back and forth the whole time, but I hated it because we meant to talk about podcasts and then like we didn't, I'm sorry, not podcast, about conspiracy theories. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, oh shit, we have half an hour left. We have to get out of here. We didn't talk about some conspiracy theories. So just like lightning round, let's go. But I got to have him on again at some point just to talk about, hey, listen, we're going to bullshit for like 15 minutes, but then we're going to go right into, you know, fucking the Black Pope and like how like the Iraq war was about, you know, the economy and friggin' all this shit.
Yeah.
So,
now I think one of the topics y'all had brought up during that was, the creatures of the Solomon Islands.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Yeah. Or maybe that was something I was wanting to hear about.
But, well, jog my memory. We'll talk about it now.
Well, my thought is that I remember hearing from this old guy that my wife and I used to rent a house from. He was telling us some stories about how, yeah, during like World War II, our guys went into Solomon Islands, and there are supposedly these caves where there's like these 10-foot tall fucking lizard people or some shit living there or some crap like that. I don't know. Something that scared the crap out of them, and nobody ever went back. And I don't know. Just for some reason, that stuck in my head. I don't know if I heard y'all talk about it, briefly mention it or something. I don't know.
He might have. I don't know anything about that. I wouldn't put that outside of the realm of possibility because there's a lot of weird shit that goes into that. Like, do you know what the cargo cults are?
No.
So we show up on these. I'm sorry. So the Japanese show up on all these, you know, islands in the Pacific that are ran by tribesmen who are effectively cavemen. They just don't have caves to live in. Mm-hmm. And the Japanese, you know, either ignore them or kill them. And then we take the island back. So after all this like fire and lightning, you know, we show back up and, you know, we're these, like, we don't look like them. The Japanese kind of look like them. You could, if you weren't, you know, experienced, you'd be like, okay, well, that's just a different person. But then you get like, you know, 6 foot tall white dudes coming out of something that landed from the sky and they bring these things, they stick in your arm and they make your diseases go away and they bring you food. And then one day we said something wrong and they left.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of look at us kind of like gods. And I don't know if it's still, actually, I do know that it's still going on. There's a couple places where they still build big wicker aircraft looking things, hoping that would entice the gods to come back to bring food and medicine. Really? Yeah, dude, it's weird. Like, there's another one somewhere in the Pacific Islands, Prince Charles. They think that he's God. Not a God. God.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that it's like, I don't necessarily believe the ancient aliens idea.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little part of me that does because of cargo cults. And it's like, well, I mean, if we can look at stuff that happened in the lifetime of people that are still alive right now, I can totally understand why an alien would come down and do something. And then, you know, dumb sheep herder would be like, yeah, that's God.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, he controlled the dragon that brought him down.
Yep. And God, I mean, there's all those instances where I know it's up to interpretation, but they'll show images or pictographs. Sorry, it looks like a fucking airplane, or it looks like a dude in an astronaut outfit or some shit, you know?
Right.
Especially what's down in South America. That's where they have a lot of that shit.
Well, the other thing though, that people don't put into the ancient aliens thought process, it's a little bit more fringe, but I think it holds up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Is there's what the traditional science will tell you, that when the ice age ended 10,000 years ago, that it was a gradual change, and over the course of 500, 700 years, all the glaciers and the ice melted and the sea levels rose. There's more and more evidence that's coming out that suggests that the sea level rose 500 feet in an afternoon. And if you look at where the human population is now, mm-hmm. and where the human population has been historically, we like to live by the sea because you get your back to a wall, so you don't have to defend so much. That thing's got food in it. We can mm-hmm. go out in it. Like, if shit gets really bad, we can boil it, make water out of it. And then imagine the planet Earth losing as much land mass as is currently Asia and Europe in like a day.
That'd be fucking nuts.
Yeah. And the thing with that is, like, I don't imagine that, like, you know, people back then, you know, could travel to outer space, but I do think that people back then were at least as technologically advanced as, say, the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And then in an afternoon it gets wiped out, and then you don't have to necessarily start from scratch, but you got to start pretty far back. Cause, like, even if you look at it, like, the Sumerians and the ancient Egyptians, they didn't believe that they just showed up there. You know, like, if you look at their shit, they'll be like, no, like, somebody else was here, or we were here for a while. Like, mm-hmm. If you look at the archaeological record of what's, you know, available now, it looks like people just showed up one day knowing how to write and build buildings.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And there isn't like a, there isn't an archaeological record for, you know, building mud huts first and then, or like building houses out of, you know, straw and then mud huts and then, you know, monolithic giant 20 ton stone structures. But what's funny is, like, there's this giant fucking pyramid about 3 miles off the coast of Japan, just sunk in the water. And if you look at it, it's like, nope, that's a fucking pyramid. Mm-hmm. If you look at scientists, like, no, that's a natural rock formation. It's like, yes, there's a natural rock formation that builds a fucking pyramid. Got it. And then the other thing is, there's this place called, I think it's pronounced Göbekli Tepe.
Yes.
It's in Turkey. They unearthed it like 5 or maybe 10 years ago, but they've got writing, like, advanced sculptures. Like, they've found that they found evidence that the people, they were like making beer and conducting agriculture. But the problem is that place was abandoned 5,000 years before people were supposed to know how to read.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I always look at it like this. What's actually under all the sands in Africa? You know?
You know, it's not even what's under the sands. There's this thing called satellite archaeology where mm-hmm. People pretty much have a satellite that, you know, they pretty much like Google Earth stuff around where things are, except for, you know, they have a better satellite to do it with. And satellite archaeologists will tell you that they haven't even scratched the surface of what ancient Egypt was, because there's a lot of shit that was just out in the fucking desert which is a way for more people to go. Cause like people like to like look at a map and be like, okay, so these are where the borders are. So people have to live in all these places. Well, look at a population map. People live by the fucking water, maybe a little bit out, and people don't just go wandering out into the fucking desert. And these satellite archaeologists have found a bunch of structures just out in the fucking sticks out in the desert. And it's like, I wonder what's out there. And the reason that nobody's like, I guess, quote unquote, discovered it beforehand is there's nothing around this thing for 500 miles besides desert. No shit. No one's ever gone there. However, 10,000 years ago, the Sahara was a jungle.
Right. Yeah.
There was another thing I saw. There was this kid. And by kid, I mean like he was in high school. He got a scholarship to, I think, MIT. And this is in the last 10 years because he was just fucking around on Google Earth and found a pyramid in South America somewhere that no one had fucking seen before. And he finds it, points it out to somebody. I don't know who, some archaeologist. These archaeologists go down there and like, hey, look, we found another lost city. Thanks, Billy. Thanks for finding this. Since you're this savvy with Google Earth, do you mind if we pay for your education so you can come work for us? And stuff's out there. Like, people will always, or not, maybe not people, but you'll hear this stuff about how like we're overpopulated. Most of the planet is still way fucking uninhabited. Like, like even in like what, North Asia, nobody fucking lives in North Asia. Russia's doing a thing right now where they'll pay you pretty much, I think, 40 grand and give you your 40 acres and a mule if you'll go like move to Siberia and like stay there for 20 years because it's unpopulated and they need people to move out there and develop it. And that's one of the things I kind of push back against on the overpopulation argument, because like there's a lot of the earth that we haven't populated yet. Like, yes, however many people live in New York and LA, sucks for them. Maybe move out of the fucking city.
Absolutely. Oh God. I couldn't live like right now. I mean, I live in a decent neighborhood, but I want land, you know. I want more property than I have house, you know?
Yeah.
And it's out there. It's just a matter of how far out are you willing to go?
Right. Right. And that's even an American thing. Like where are you at? You said you're in Texas.
Yeah. In Houston. Yeah.
Oh, dude, hey, I love Houston, man. I'm down there every once in a while. go to the panhandle. Go to the west side of the fucking panhandle. You have flat nothing until a windmill, and then there's like a ranch, and then there's like another hour of flat nothing. And hey, plants grow there. You can grow crops there. There's water. You can drink water. You're not going to have Wi-Fi, and it's going to take you 6 hours to get to Walmart, but that land is habitable.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's see here. We are coming up on 43 minutes now. So I tell you what, let's start wrapping this up. And what I would like to do is, what social media links do you want people to know about?
So I have like Facebook and Twitter and all that, but Facebook and Twitter are bullshit and it's toxic as fuck. Don't go there. That I'm shadow banned on fucking Facebook right now.
Oh shit.
No, it's bad. Like it's been for months. I'm not sure what the fuck I did. I'm sure I deserve it, but I don't know what the fuck it was. But like I had like maybe 35,000 followers and it's just like dwindled down to nothing just because no one's seeing my fucking posts anymore. Oh, like, it's like, hey, you got 30,000 followers or 35,000 followers. And like, you know how Facebook, it shows you how many people saw it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what? And 15 people saw this post. It's like, why do I have 15 It's all this. So yeah, so fuck those. I would say the best way to find me is either at smokepitfairytales.com or if you look at Trip Ainsworth on Instagram. Okay. I'll have all that. And then like if you go to smokepitfairytales.com, like the top of it's, you know, all links to social media shit. And you can find my YouTube channel there with and my podcast info. And you can listen to Trip's Smoke Pit podcast anywhere that you want to. Maybe not anywhere, but like Apple Music and Spotify and Google and places.
All the major.
Yeah, places actual people go for podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. God, there's like 20 fucking thousand apps for listening to podcasts, but there's only like five main players that should be used, you know? So that being actually, shit, there was one more thing I wanted to ask you about. It just kind of gone. Exactly. All right. Actually, there is one last question that I do like asking people, and that is, what question have I not asked you but should have? Is there something you want people to know?
I don't know about the question, but I'm going to give you the answer.
All right.
Okay. So there's debate on what the perfect set of breasts are.
Oh, shit. Yes.
My answer would be, if I could have a sexual partner with any size breast, they would look like a baseball inside of an extra, extra, extra large tube sock. And I would wrap them around my head like a turban and make her call me the Sultan.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to imagine this. All right. So run that by me again.
Okay. Boobs. Actual mass of the boob is about the size of a baseball.
Okay.
However, that's in an extra, 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 extra large tube sock. So they hit her ankles.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And then I would take them and I would wrap them around my head.
Yes.
Like it was a turban.
Oh God.
And make her call me the Sultan.
All right. And there you have it, folks. There's your thought for the day. Oh, man. Well, I have had fun with this for sure. I love listening to your podcast, by the way.
Yeah, dude, we got to get you on mine once you have, 2 hours and 12 pack to kill.
There you go. And sadly, this is my 12 pack.
Okay.
Water. I don't drink beer. I've never been a fan of beer. Beer is one of those things, you give it to me, you can sit me in a corner and leave me by myself.
Okay.
Now, if you want me to interact with people, you got to give me either, a good scotch, bourbon, whiskey. I mean, technically it's all about the same, but whatever. That's my thought anyways. I do well with tequila.
Okay.
And vodka I'm all right with, but yeah, those are my drinks of choice.
All right. So when you have 2 hours and some Jameson to kill,
there you go. Now, I used to do Jägermeister.
Dude, I got in trouble with Jägermeister. No. I had a friend that got killed in Afghanistan, right? And the only thing he drank was Jägermeister. So what we would do to honor him was, a month after he died, we took a shot of Jägermeister. Mm-hmm. 2 months after he died, we took 2 shots of Jägermeister. 3 months after he died, we took 3 shots. I want you to understand where this is going.
Yes.
It eventually got to the point where Jägermeister, it would have all the negative effects of social disorder, but wouldn't interfere with cognitive thought. So we would just be downing Jägermeister like it's fucking going out of fucking style. Like, I actually live next to, what day is it? Okay, I'm good. I actually live next to the graveyard he's buried in, and I go leave a little thing of Jägermeister there for him. But if it tells you what kind of asshole I am with Jägermeister, I actually met my wife at this dude's funeral.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah, no, Jäger, I got, one of the girls I dated while I was stationed in Guam, she's a dancer, and Jägermeister was her drink. So she introduced it to me, and it became my drink until the night I was leaving Guam to come back stateside to get out.
Yeah.
And we go to this bar. It had 32-ounce margaritas on Tuesday nights or some shit like that for like, I don't know, $3. And so I'd already downed one of those, had a couple shots, and I'm feeling it. I'm like, and it's not even 10:30 at night yet. Okay. And I'm like, all right, I need to get away from the bar for a few minutes. So a group of guys were going down to the ATM, get some cash. I'm going with these guys. So I take off. I go with them. Come back. And there's like 12 fucking shots lined up. And I look at them. I look at all the people. I'm like, dudes, I am not doing all these by myself. So, we paired up. We started doing the shots. I don't remember leaving the bar. I remember we were at Denny's and I was on the floor laughing. I don't remember getting there either. I just remember being aware that I'm in Denny's on the floor laughing. One of our buddies is a little Samoan dude, but he is built like a brick shit house. Fucking picks me up off the floor, puts me back in my seat. He's like, "Shad, I love you, man. But you end up on the floor again, I make sure you stay there."
Fair enough, buddy.
Yes, sir. So as far as I know, I stayed there. I don't remember eating. I just remember waking up later, hugging my buddy's toilet in his apartment. Again, not knowing how the fuck I got there. Covered in my own puke, which was sad because those were the clothes I was planning on flying home in.
Oh,
so yeah. So I think I took another little nap, woke up, haul ass to my apartment, get all my shit, change my clothes, shower. I still reek the fucking alcohol. Haul ass to the airport, drop off my bags, haul ass back to base because I was dropping my car off to get shipped back to the States.
Yeah.
Our XO meets me at the car drop-off place because his thing was he wanted to be the one to greet you coming into the command and see you on your way out. Little did I know, you know the phrase loose lips sink ships?
Yep.
Well, I'm still shit-faced drunk, basically, and he starts talking to me. "So, you're getting out, huh?" "Yes, sir." "Why don't you want to stay in?" "Well, I mean, coming here, first time being in the service, any place from here is going to be a ship. I don't want to go to a ship after being on an island for fucking 3 years.
You do, but.
Yeah. And so me being drunk saying that totally screwed everyone else that ever went to the command. Didn't know that until afterwards.
Nice.
So, thank you very much. Yeah, so watch what you say when you're drunk. Shit happens. Yeah.
No, I got one more for you before we go. And this something that happens in my first book, Smoke with Fairy Tales. It comes to a head where it's like that scene in the book where, you know, the main guy and the love interest are like, "Oh, I love you, you know, blah, whatever." But what happens is they have this huge fight at this jazz bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they make up kind of, and then they start. They go back to the girl's apartment and they start getting frisky, and she's blowing him, and then, you know, fucking he gets a little excited and grabs the back of her head and shoves his cock down her throat, and then she pukes on his dick, and then she looks up to say "I'm sorry," but she can't say "I'm sorry" because the character pukes in her face, and then she pukes again, and then he pukes again, and then they're just sitting there like kicking each other like on accident while they're violently vomiting. And then like the rest of the chapter is him just like trying to drag this chick to the shower to clean her off, but they're so slick with bodily fluid
that Jesus,
grab onto her, and eventually after dropping her a few times and falling down and puking a few more times, they get to the shower, and you know, she's like, "Ah," and he's like, no, it's okay, I'll take care of her." She's like, "I love you," and he's like, "Bleh, I love you too."
Damn. All right. And on that note, we are going to play a song that you wrote. And now I understand sometimes people say that they don't like their voice. But when I listened to the song you sent me, to me, it has kind of almost a Tom Petty-ish sound.
I've heard that once. I've also heard a lot of "Shut Up." So, I mean,
a lot of "Shut Up." but yeah, let me get over to a different screen here and hopefully it doesn't fuck everything up.
Yeah. And again, this song's from, the book, "Chainsmoke Your Problems Away." It's about being in the military. If you didn't pick that up from the lyrics.
Gotcha. And what was the name of the song?
"For Your Devil." It's me and my buddy wrote it, with the idea of, you know, how like there's those like legends or songs about like you suck at music and you go to the crossroads and sell your soul to the devil to get better at playing guitar. It's mm-hmm. kind of like that, except for it's life's shitty. I have to go sell my soul to the devil, but the devil's not actually the devil. The devil's a recruiter. And now I'm in the Marine Corps.
Gotcha.
But there's a line in it I think you would appreciate, since you were Navy. Mm-hmm. I think the last verse is about you know, being on ship with the whole, like, it's raining in the desert thing. But like when he's talking about in a coffin, I would lay, it's talking about the coffin racks on ship.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know, that's actually how I ended up in Guam is I was an aviation electronics tech and I was second with an 88 average for the class. I was second to last. And I got a choice to go to Guam or to two different carriers. And, you know, I was actually debating it. And finally, the dude's like, look, do you want to be in a wall locker or a coffin locker? Thought about it for about half a second. And I said, I'll take the wall locker. And next thing you know, I end up in Guam working with a bunch of ordnance men testing missiles.
Yeah. And that
so
changed your life. Because if you went the other way, you'd probably have anchor tattoos on your hands right now. Walking around like
Popeye. I probably would have.
You do not disrespect my glorious Navy.
Exactly. So it's amazing the things that will cause you to make changes and choices in your life that will take you God knows where.
Yeah.
So who knows what would have happened. If I had gone to a carrier, I might have stayed in for 20. I went to an island. I got out after 4. So, all right. Well, hey, folks, here is Trip Ainsworth with 4-Year Devil.
It was a moonless night, I was 18 years old. My life was going nowhere. It was midnight at the railroad tracks, miles away from anywhere. I said my dark prayer. Didn't look quite how I figured. Green suit and black hair, smile on his face, ribbons on his chest. He seemed to walk on air. He promised to get me out of this town. Be handsome, wealthy, and brave. I travel the world, be powerful, but a slave until my grave. Now it's raining in the desert. Why's it always gotta rain on me? I'm just another of the devil's dogs. Would they ever want with me? He grinned, I signed my name, Diabolical Paxil. Heard the cadence of an evil choir. Sand shifted, I fell into the pit. March with the other damned until I was one of them. But for every deal with Satan, we all face judgment, didn't we? I was sentenced to a floating prison. It's raining on the ocean. Why's it always gotta rain on me? I'm tired of being the devil's dog, lost out on the sea. I spent half my time sweating out of doors, running shit and running chores. I'm always in a dingy pit.
All right, so there you have it, folks. Trip, thank you very much for coming on the show.
No, thank you for having me.
Guys, you know, not a problem. Guys, check out everything he's got going on. Check him out, smokepitfairytales.com. Find him on Instagram at Trip Ainsworth. And check out his podcast, Smoke Pit Fairy Tales. You will not be disappointed, I promise you that. I've enjoyed every one of his episodes, but I will be honest, once it hits about the 2 hour mark, what's that?
I was gonna say the podcast is Trip Smoke
Pit. What was that?
The podcast is Trip Smoke Pit.
Ah, sorry about that. Trip Smoke Pit. There you go. Yeah. And for some reason, our audio is like half delayed. I don't know why. That's weird. So there you go. So check out the show. All the info will be in there. I'll make sure I get it correct. And there we go. See, that's what I was saying. The audio is like half, like 10 seconds off for some reason.
The CIA is telling us to get off.
I think that's what it is. So, yeah. All right, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed having it, and check out everything he's got going on, and we will see you guys next time.
Yeah.